Yes, good evening, good night to everybody. We're here live in Mesa, Arizona, debuting our second episode of the season, 2010 NFL season. It's been a very good start on the year. I think things are going to pick up this week, though. We do have a couple co-hosts with myself, Zach Simony. We got Jabbar Harris returning from last week. Jabbar, want to say a few comments?
How's it going? Hope you enjoyed last week's show. Make this week a little bit better.
And then we have a new correspondent here, Joe Lopat. He's going to go ahead and introduce himself as well.
What's going on? Chi-Town, what's up? 3-0 start. I want to thank Zach for letting me be a part of his show and his up-and-coming website, notjustagame.com. Let's get some stuff rolling here.
Sounds good.
All right, we've got a lot of topics we're going to discuss here. We're going to break down a little bit of what happened in Week 3. We're going to have some analysis on that, and obviously we're going to break down it from a fantasy perspective Week 4 for you. But on the fantasy side of things, we're going to talk about some studs that we think will come down, some guys that you need to look at trading, and some impact guys for the rest of the year. So let's go ahead and break down last week, guys. I really want to start off with the Denver Broncos. They really let a chance slip away against the Colts. Really a big difference sitting at 1-2 compared to 2-1, which I think they could have been. They had Kyle Orton out there having a career day, throwing 487 yards. I think all three receivers almost had 100 yards receiving, with Brandon Lloyd out there tearing it up, Jabbar Gaffney, and who's the other guy?
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas, the rookie. He didn't have as big a game, but he was right there with those two.
But Eddie Royal,
he had a couple catches, but he was pretty much non-existent. But the concern here is they were in the red zone three different times and couldn't put up points.
Yeah, they had 6 red zone points out of 5 trips. I mean, what the first thing that I thought, you know, looking at that game is their red zone offense. When they hit the 20, Kyle Orton would freeze up and hit checkdowns like Matt Leinart. That's all he was doing. For some reason, like, he felt the Colts rush coming, even though it wasn't there. Many times he could have stepped up and thrown the ball into the end zone, but he would just check it down and that was it.
Do you think that's because they had no run game?
I just think Kyle's not a good quarterback. I mean, the Colts are a band but don't break defense. They're going to let you go 20-20. But even that red zone, that's when the pressure heats up from their defense.
Okay, but then the mismanagement part of that comes into play when there's 8 minutes in the fourth quarter and it's 4th-and-3 on the 16-yard line. And would you? Most teams, I don't think I've never seen a team that kick a field goal at that point in time.
Yeah, you got to
take the points.
That was Josh McDaniels. Dr. Daniels is gambling too much right there.
And then the very next play, Peyton Manning throws a bomb to Austin Collier at the 30-yard line, punch it in, it's 27-13. Game's over. Game was over.
Colts make it look so easy on offense at times. I think that's what got McDaniels. You thought, hey, if I don't score a touchdown, they're going to come right down and score. But you got the points right there. And you've got to have a little more faith in your defense. What are you saying to those players?
Definitely. And I think that's a loss that McDaniels might come back to bite him in the ass later in the year when they're 8-8, 7-9. They're going to look at that game. And
I mean, they're 1-2 right now, right?
Yeah.
And they got Tennessee, Baltimore, and the Jets coming up.
Yeah.
That spells trouble.
You upset a team. You can't lose upsets. When you have an upset in your hand, you got
at home.
You have to win that.
So that's definitely a 1-2 team. But going into our next segment, where we're going to talk about subpar teams that we think are going to come on the come up in the later part of the year, starting now, midseason, and throughout the year, I am going to still put the Denver Broncos on my list with the 1-2 and all three teams out there.
In that division, wow.
Definitely. That's one of the worst divisions in the league behind the NFC West. So I think they can, I really don't think the Chargers are going to dig themselves out of this hole they've done the past 2 years.
Their offense, Michael Floyd and Legity are the go-to guys.
They always start slow.
This year could be the year where it bites them, though.
Yeah.
Well, they got their tackle back, right?
Yeah.
Neil Sonic.
He did. $600K.
He did.
$3 million less. But they don't have LT. I mean, Ryan Matthews, rookies hit that wall. So late in the year, an offensive clicking, and say he's hurt or he hits that wall.
Spurs is fragile.
Yeah, he is. I mean, that's what I think could do for him this year.
And their defense isn't as dominant anyway.
Yeah, Sean Merriman. Worst he's been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm liking the Chiefs out of that division.
Yeah, I mean, me too.
Gotta love Charlie Weiss over there now.
Rookie out of Ole Miss over there.
Yeah, McCluster.
McCluster.
They, They do have some weapons. Kansas City Chiefs defense playing a lot better, but it comes down to quarterback play, and Matt Castle is not someone that can lead a team to a division.
He's been efficient. I mean, he's not a great or really good NFL quarterback, but he's efficient. To me, he's like Kyle Orton. I mean, he's no better than Kyle Orton. So I think you can win with them.
Hey, you only put the pieces around him.
Yeah.
They got two good running backs.
I think Kyle Orton's developed a little bit better these past 2 years. And I think as a team, like from a team standpoint, Denver has that main nucleus of a team that's going to take the division.
Defense, though. I mean, their best pass rusher is out. That's huge. There's close games. That's the pass rusher.
Yeah.
He's the one made teams game plan for. They don't have that.
And they don't have a running back.
Even if he plays, he's nothing special. He had a 100-yard game and all as a rookie.
They'll get enough production. They're going to obviously rotate their backs in and out like they usually do with Lawrence Maroney, Marshawn Marino, and Corell Buckley.
Why don't they just put your buddy Tim Tebow in?
That's what he needs.
Put him in.
Tim Tebow will be out there running the Wildcat.
He's a third stringer now.
Yeah.
They're done. He's done for
the playoffs. But no, that's just one of my teams, and obviously the Dallas Cowboys.
He's Dallas bouncing back.
Yeah, they've got the tools, though. There's no doubt.
So run the football, make all fantasy.
They finally did it last week. Use the play action, and it worked. They kept the defense off the field.
Exactly.
Gary finally realized that.
So Dallas Cowboys, I think people always like to over-exaggerate at an early start of the year. 0-2, definitely winnable games at Washington. It's Houston. They really just caught a hot team. But, they played them. They beat them real well last week. But I think that they're going to come around and bounce back in that division. And they're going to get a lot of division wins. It'll probably be 6-2 or 7-1.
I just don't like Wade Phillips as a coach.
Too soft.
Can't stand that guy.
Yeah, he's a little bit soft. Another team that I think, it's not playing too well right now. The record's not that bad as the Bengals, but their play has been so inconsistent.
I'll talk about them later.
Who are the guys at backup quarterback?
Palmer's little brother?
So, Joe, I touched a little bit on my subpar teams. I think we'll bounce back in come to fruition, come to life a little bit. Jabbar touched on his teams there, and who do you think is going to come back on to come up?
I got to say Cincinnati, too.
Oh, man.
There's so much invested. You got Batman and Robin there. You got Cedric Benson. The defense, they just got to start running the football more. They got to get the ball out of Carson Palmer's hands and run the football with Benson, as they did last year.
And with me, with Cincinnati, it's not necessarily they can't get it done. I just think they're in a division where they're going to be held in check a little bit playing against the Ravens.
That's one of the divisions that you really can't tell anything right now.
Yeah.
You guys got that play out, and they get things going.
Especially when you overlook teams and you lose to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like what's going to happen this week?
Go away.
Well, we'll touch on that when we go on our Lions segment. We're going to have a couple more topics here. On a general basis, we're from Arizona here, Mesa, Arizona, if you guys don't know that. We're actually residing here right now. We're not from here. But we're going to touch on the Cardinals. In the past, Bill Bidwell used to get slammed for his inability to spend his cash on some of his prime players. They would walk away. And I know a lot of Cardinals fans loved Anquan Boldin. He played his heart out for several years. Played hurt all the time. Saw him in the playoffs. Saw him bounce back from the jaw injury and a horrible hamstring injury that he fought through. And they pretty much parted ways with him. Didn't bring anyone in that they think could be a solid receiver behind Larry Fitzgerald. Basically, Larry Fitzgerald was looked at as he's God. He's going to be able to handle everything. He's going to make that passing offense run without losing anything, but you saw his struggles. He's not healthy right now, Larry Fitzgerald. They're trying to break in a new quarterback, Derek Anderson, who has
He's been bad. He had one good average year.
Yeah.
When the Cleveland Browns cut you, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they'll sign their castaways and make them start.
I mean, I didn't like the Cardinals' depth at receiver even before the injuries with early Doucette and Steve Breaston out there. I mean, Steve Breaston was a good third receiver behind Anquan Boldin, and that's not saying much if you can't step up in a bigger phase. Because when Anquan Boldin missed a few games, where was he?
He had a good week one this year, and last week he started playing some nice plays too. But the thing is, they lost so much depth at receiver. I mean, by having Anquan Boldin, it makes average receivers look good.
Exactly.
I mean, I think the Cardinals saw a couple years ago in the playoff run when Fitzgerald was just out of his mind that they could survive without Boldin. So, and then they realized, hey, we could survive without Bolden. Let's let him go, and let's just go with Preston.
Yeah, so now we're looking at the depth in this team, with a team trying to bounce back and take command of a division, and they're going to be starting free agent receivers this weekend, opposite Larry Fitzgerald.
My only question is to Rod Graves. You get rid of Bolden and replace him with nobody. You get rid of Carlos Dansby, who's tearing it up in Miami, replace him with nobody, and then you get rid of Entrell Roll and get Kerry Rhodes back. But he's a hothead at best.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And now you've got a team. This division is basically up for grabs when it should have been their division.
And your number two receiver is a rookie free agent. And your number three receiver now is a rookie free agent.
Nothing but rookie free agents all over the board. I mean, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, they got Tim Hightower running back now, who gets about 3 yards a carry. Billy Wells is hurt all the time. This offense is in trouble.
It is. And then Anderson. I mean, that's icing on the cake.
And from the tight end position, I don't think a team hasn't gotten
anything out of a tight end.
There isn't a team that hasn't gotten anything out of a tight end over the course of 3 years like the Arizona Cardinals. Can you name another team?
No one's looks bad at tight end, no. They don't even invest in tight end. They haven't spent a high draft pick really on
And that's
tight
surprising,
end.
Losing him coming from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean,
you just don't understand it when a team is supposed to keep building towards the future and then they take these steps back like this. I mean, this team with Derek Anderson at quarterback and the talent, he's not a guy that can lead a team without talent.
They saw what Kurt Warner and Fitzgerald are doing. If you're anybody else, those two can do it all.
Now, what do you do if you own Larry Fitzgerald, guys? What would you do?
Derek Anderson is going to go to him now, especially those guys out.
How many times was he targeting him in the last couple weeks?
Yeah.
With a bum knee.
Anyway, Larry Fitzgerald's not a question if you're going to start him. It's a question value. So if your team is in a danger zone, you're sitting at 0-3, and you can get two good guys for Larry Fitzgerald, why not do it?
Trade the marquee name while you can.
Why not do it?
Exactly. You got to do it now. It's about week six. No one's going to take that.
Now, does Steven Williams, Max Carlisle have any value?
You know what? One of those guys could rise up. We've seen it happen with the Colts. Cardinals have that passing offense, but
they
right now...
Colts, but they have Peyton Manning.
The Cardinals are going to throw it a lot because they're going to be down. So, and it, unlike quarterbacks, Derek Anderson's value is horrible because he's going to throw picks, but receivers, they get a lot of garbage yards and those touchdowns. So.
But, I mean, Steven Williams, I think, would be the best one out of that group if you were desperate just to keep an eye on. Because he's a bigger body, bigger target for Anderson.
He's the best of all the young receivers on that team. But you got to wait and see.
Yeah, so look at a waiver wire article on Monday. We'll see if one of them are listed. Highly doubted, though. Okay, our last general topic here. We're going to talk about the Jets. Now, you guys see what's going on out there. I just did an article yesterday on the value of the Jets signing LT right now. If they didn't sign LT, everyone would be on the Jets for letting Thomas Jones go and having Sean Green go out there and be a bust. You got LT out there. He's got 200 yards on the year, averaging 5.6 yards a carry.
Talk to me in week 8.
And it's totally outperforming.
Yeah.
Well, week 8, I really don't see him down coming back too bad. And he might lose some more
carries right now.
Yeah, I'm talking about injury-wise. Talk to me in week 8.
Yeah.
So, yeah, total holds up. And But I think he can. I think, they're not going to overuse him. They still have Sean Green, who's not doing much, but he's still somewhat of a threat. He's a power runner.
Yeah.
And defenses hate that, playing that power runner.
And the key with free agents is they're supposed to help you win that few, a couple extra games, and then in the playoffs.
Oh, no, I love LT getting receiving yards.
Yeah. I think they knew that coming in, he's going to do that. This rushing he's provided them with, that's just extra right now. They even think he could do that still. But the third down plays, that's what they brought him in for.
And main question, another question with the Jets is, they had Santonio Holmes out on suspension. Braylon Edwards gets arrested for DUI. He's told he needs to sit out the first quarter.
Slap him on the wrist.
If you wrote this in college basketball, college football, it would have been all over the news. Player probably would have missed 4 to 5 games due to suspension. I mean, you don't see that happening in college sports. So what kind of example is that?
Age, so it's more. It's a bigger problem. You know, you're a 19-year-old. Shouldn't be drinking in the first place, and then you got DUI on top of it.
Yeah, I mean,
but also NFL's a big business. Jets are trying to win. I mean, you lose games in the NFL, losing out on money.
It's still a professional sport, and that type of example. I don't think that would have happened across the organizations in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, the two teams they would have spent them definitely. You know, those teams that are more structured, you know, core beliefs, you know, player, you know, off-field issues, they would spend them for a game or two. But the Jets, you know, they talk a lot this offseason, and they got one game. They talk a lot about how we're gonna beat everybody. They fear if we don't play Brandon Edwards, we could lose. And we're 1-2.
Yeah.
Like, nah, let's give him a quarter.
And from the flip side of that, he was a big difference in that game, obviously. That drive when they got down there and got that touchdown, made a big catch, stretched the field.
They wouldn't have won that game if it wasn't for my boy, Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, that's our last segment.
Leading them.
Our last segment. Do you guys trust Mark Sanchez?
I do. He is the pickup slash start of this week at the quarterback position against the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, I think he's the best quarterback from that 09 class. You know, then fought by Josh Freeman and Stafford. But I think, yeah, he's the best quarterback in that class. And he's
got enough weapons around him to be successful in the NFL right now.
For a second quarterback, he's looking pretty impressive. You know, he's making a few errors here and there, but he's young. But he's got that big arm. He knows how to use it. Getting the ball down the field is very valuable.
Yeah, the thing with Mark Sanchez is it's a forgive and forget week-by-week basis because he goes out there and he'll look like a rookie.
Yeah, he's young. I mean, young quarterbacks, too, hit that third, fourth year, really mature. He still doesn't want to throw balls away yet. He's got a stage where I think something happened, even though there's nothing there.
Well, Sanchez always hits his tight end when he's in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Keller had two big touchdowns last week. And that's what we were talking about earlier with tight ends being a huge asset to teams.
Yeah, Dustin Keller's definitely moving up the tight end charts. He's probably a top five tight end these days. But with Sanchez, I mean, we know the Jets are going to be a good team this year, but when we're breaking down Sanchez, when it comes down to the playoffs, when he's playing those elite teams of the AFC, going against Brady, going against Phillip Rivers possibly, Manning, pretty much any other quarterback in the AFC is going to be two, three, four notches higher caliber quarterback than him. Do you think he can hold up and get his team to the promised land, that Super Bowl?
Showed someone last year. You know, they had the reins on him. He still showed, you know, he could do something.
But he still took him to the championship.
I don't care, you're handing the ball every play. You get there to the title game, your conference, that's saying something. And I think that helps him out this year. When they do hit the playoffs, he's been there before. This is his first rodeo. He's been there.
Do you think the Jets' game plan changes a little bit? I mean, with the Jets, their game plan thus far, I've seen them switch it up a little bit. Last year, they kind of held him. They held him in a threshold. They limited his pass plays. They limited his reads. You could see it.
They had Thomas Jones and Sean Green running the heck out of the ball.
They don't need him.
They play smash mouth.
Yeah.
Football.
Exactly, but they've expanded that. Are they going to be able to tell that back in the playoffs?
Probably are going to tell that. Look at the playoffs. They're going to they have a good defense where you can afford to make some mistakes down the field, and they'll bail you out. If he throws a 30-yard interception 30 yards down the field,
like a putt,
yeah, that defense is going to bail him out.
So you believe Rex Ryan is going to have full trust in
him? Oh, yeah. You got Antonio Holmes coming off, man.
Oh, yeah, they get him back. I mean,
you got him, Slayton Edwards, and Keller.
Yeah, I don't trust Sanchez in the playoffs. I think they go to the divisional round and they exit.
I think a deep run. I think the AFC somehow Pittsburgh surprised me, but the Colts and Jets to me are the two best teams.
What are you basing this off of? The quarterback play? Super Bowl teams have a good quarterback.
I'm just saying the Jets are going to be in the playoffs, and you look at your weaknesses and Mark Sanchez second.
Right. So you're saying quarterback play?
Oh yeah, he's got to carry his team, so he's going to have to make the big plays. He's going to have bigger responsibilities.
Great drive in those final minutes of that Monday night game. That's a big stage. I mean, Monday night and Sunday night are that big stage in pro football. And you know, everybody's watching. The ratings. It's kind of like a mini playoff atmosphere. And he looked really poised late in the game.
He definitely developed. I think, you know, you get that momentum when you're making a few good throws like he did with Dustin Keller. That definitely opened it up for him. But that's enough with Mark Sanchez. We're going to touch on one more topic here. The bye weeks this week, this is very crucial, and when you're doing your fantasy drafts, you're pretty much looking at the players you want, not paying attention to bye weeks. Well, this is the week where you have to now. We've got some primetime teams with talented players you're going to have to sit this week. Now, this is where the depth of your players is going to have to come in and come to life for you, and you're going to have to rely on that for the next 10, 11 weeks. So, you've got the Dallas Cowboys, Minnesota Vikings, Kansas City Chiefs, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, that's just a reminder for before we go into our fantasy segment here. Alright. So, for our first fantasy segment here, we're going to touch on fantasy disappointments thus far, first 3 weeks of the year. And we'll just go one player, one player, one player. real quick here. Now I'm going to talk about Mike Crabtree, wide receiver of the San Francisco 49ers. His team has been a disappointment. He sat out 8 games this year. Last year, he's been a disappointment. Doesn't have the work ethic out on the field.
Then quarterback.
I don't care what it is. Alex Smith looked good against the Saints. He got an off week last week, but Mike Crabtree hasn't shown a decent catch this year. He's running sloppy routes. He looks slow, and he's not getting open. If he was getting open, it'd be a different story. But there's teams out there, or you guys out there, that probably drafted him as a second or third receiver. So I definitely would rate him as one of the top wide receiver busts out there right now. Joe, who do you have?
I'm going to have to go with the Jets and go with Sean Green. Got 106 yards rushing, 17 yards receiving, 0 touchdowns, and a fumble. On that note, I also have Ray Rice with 210 yards rushing and no touchdowns this year as well. That Ray Rice is a top 5 pick in fantasy. Sean Green's a top 10 running back. And they're getting no production. LT, like Zach said, is now the starter. Almost. He's getting the touches.
Pretty much. They're relying on him for that split in the second half. He's getting the increase.
And what do? You bench him?
With Sean?
Yeah. So you're going to bench him? You're going to try to trade him? What's going to go on?
It doesn't take him. I mean, he sees that he's not doing anything.
Yeah, from a fantasy standpoint, it just depends on your depth at running back. If you got enough guys, talented guys, you can bench Green for a couple of weeks. But if not, play him. You could have 40 yards, a touchdown, get you 10 points right there. So keep playing him.
And I got Rich Jones Drew looks horrible this year. I mean, that whole offense looked bad. I mean, you can't put it all on Garrard. I mean, you put most of it on Garrard. But even watching the games, he hasn't made any big runs, really. And
no.
A couple weeks ago, San Diego, that big fumble, and they're marching on the field. I mean, yeah. I think Jacksonville's got to go. I mean, I think he's just putting the whole team down, and just no one's playing well on that team at all. Both sides of the ball.
I read an article that said they're going to go with, they might do the double-headed monster at running back.
We
got Jennings, I think, as a backup.
They're going to try to do the Thunder and Lightning run.
They're trying to, but they're not getting any production.
They're off the bat. I mean, they drafted 2 young tackles the other year. They're not. They're getting beat all the time when I watch their games. They just look like a team that's lost out there, and I think they've got to make tons of coaching changes. Get that team that ship right again.
Speaking about two-headed monsters, what's up with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart?
Another
from Carolina.
That boils down to what they let happen at the quarterback position. I think when they saw Jake Delhomme decreasing, they just let they didn't do anything. They didn't have quarterbacks. Quarterbacks should be built through the organization. Matt Moore was thrown in while Delhomme was under fire. He wasn't ready for the job, and now they're doing the same thing with Jimmy Clausen, throwing him in the fire.
I think they put too much faith in Matt Moore. I mean, one thing about NFL is bad quarterbacks aren't prepared for. And Matt Moore came in late the year, no teams were prepared for him, so he looked decent. You know, you have to put in the whole offseason, teams are going to break down his strengths and his weaknesses, and they're trying to exploit him. And it's just made that whole offense just a dud. I mean, Jonathan Stewart went second, third round on people's fantasy drafts.
Yeah, Williams was top.
And Williams was first-round guy.
First-round guy.
Jonathan Stewart's putting up horrible numbers. I mean, he's just getting a few points.
68 yards rushing and a touchdown.
Yeah.
3 games.
I mean, it's just horrible.
And what do you think is the main reason for this, Joe, for the Carolina Panthers?
Like you said, John Fox is on the way out. They don't have a defense. They don't have quarterbacks. Clausen will be good in a couple of years, but... Yeah.
I mean, how do you lose someone like Peppers on defense? You don't replace them. No high draft pick on the DN. Aaron Brown is showing things as a rookie. You want him to be your elite pass rusher this year?
They got the Cardinals syndrome. They got top receiver in Steve Smith and nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, they got Dwayne Jarrett and LaFell. That's it.
A couple of good linebackers. That's all they have on the team.
Straight busts. And I got one more guy's disappointment right now. Actually, 2.
I got a couple, too. Let's keep going.
There could be hating on people. There could be lists of lists. Let's do the hater raid.
They probably give me a cup. I'm pulling up.
No, but Ray Rice and Joey Addai. The reason why I'm going to put Joey Addai on this list, he's one of the most explosive offenses in the league. Team scoring 30-35 points a game. Peyton Manning's ripping up defenses. They're getting inside the 10, and he's still throwing short touchdowns.
Get all right against the Giants.
Yeah, you are a part of the Giants.
It's a good offense.
Yeah. It's so hard. You have fancy guys in those close teams. It's pretty much week by week. It's anybody's week. Like last year, also climbed a huge week. Before that, Addai.
But people drafted a guy as a flex option. They drafted him as a top two running back. No,
but he should still be getting more fantasy production. I mean, even against the Giants, he had a good game, but it was yardage-wise, rushing the football. Donald Brown was the one that got that burner of a touchdown.
They're passing offense. They're in the red zone. They only run because they think you're playing pass defense. They come in there and they think you're going to stack it. They're going to Dallas Clark or a fade route. They do it all the time.
Yeah, you look at Peyton Manning's prior years, Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James, those guys still put up the points, and we're just not seeing it from Joey Addai. I don't think we will.
That was younger Peyton Manning, also. That wasn't Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark at tight end. That was Marcus Pollard at tight end. He wasn't bad, but he's not Dallas Clark.
It was still Peyton Manning threw almost 50 touchdowns.
Yeah, but he had Dallas Clark, who's very reliable in the red zone. He's a big athletic tight end, one of the better athletic tight ends in the league. So you have Reggie Wayne, you have Garcon, Collie. There's so many weapons now. Before, it was Pollard at tight end, and Marvin Harrison receiver, and then someone else at the other side. So Edgerrin James, they would just rely on him more. But now, they're like, hey, we're at the 5-yard line. You can't cover all these guys. Yeah. You can still get these guys on quick throws.
Yeah. Well, I still have Joey Addai on there. He needs to get, when the team's scoring that many points, they need to get some value out of him. And obviously, I'm going to list one more guy before you guys talk about a couple more, but Ray Rice, Baltimore. There's probably guys that drafted him with a number one pick based on the way he played last year.
Like I said, 210 and no touchdowns.
Yeah. I got him in the first round. I had a late first round pick. I got Ray West, and he's let me down in relief.
Are you going to keep starting him, or what are you going to do?
Well, he's kind of made up this week, so definitely not against that Steeler defense. I'm definitely
you got to sit him and think about Willis McGahee, who last year, his last start, had 60 yards and two touchdowns against Pittsburgh. Yeah. Just something to think about.
That's something you definitely want to think
also
about.
Also McClain, I mean, they haven't really done much with him this year.
But I mean, even when Ray Rice was healthy, they're putting McGahee in the game inside the red zone.
It's McGahee.
Okay, guys, that was my last fantasy disappointment so far. Or obviously, we could keep expanding, but I'm not going to touch on that. Go ahead, Joe, if you got any other guys there.
Joe Flacco, I think, might be disappointed. A good week last week, but he's got three weapons over there in Bolden. Desmond Mason and Houshmandzadeh. He's got Todd Heat. He's got Ray Rice in the backfield. And he's got 5 interceptions to start the season.
Yeah.
In 3 games, 5. He's got more interceptions than he does touchdowns. Who else do I got on here? Steve Smith from the Giants, who only has 181 yards receiving and no touchdowns. Colston, who only has 154 yards receiving. And then the 3 tight ends who are having a horrible year so far. Selleck, Davis, and Witten. No production at all.
Yeah, Witten.
Yeah.
Big disappointment. Especially since he's Romo's best friend. I mean, I didn't see that one coming at all.
No. Hey, it's only 3 weeks, so. And you're looking at those receivers there. Marcus Colston and Steve Smith. They've got nothing but upside. So you're going to see some good production out of those guys over
there. But there's so many good receivers in those offenses. That's a week-to-week thing, too.
Yeah, but
Jabbar was talking about with a dive.
You still don't want to get those guys out there because you're in passing offenses. Those quarterbacks are averaging 300 to 400 yards
passing. The safety looks really good is Lance Moore. Right?
Lance Moore.
That's who's really...
Yeah.
He did that 2 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he disappeared for a while.
And then he disappeared.
He's injury-prone. He's a smaller
receiver.
He's a
small guy.
So we don't...
But is it alarming? Colston had no touchdowns and that Drew Brees ran offense?
Yeah. Their offense has struggled. It really has.
Indoor on football field. That offense is. In fact, he doesn't have too many points.
And with Joe Flacco, I got into that argument with Matt Berry last year. I mean, he's just going to be, he's an up and down quarterback right now. I think as he's
familiar with 5 picks and 4 touchdowns? That's not a good first 3 weeks of the season.
No, it's definitely not. And
also, this is the year he's supposed to get that next jump.
Yeah, everyone has him. As a top that year,
he's that jump, that third year. This is, that's the year, the Pro Bowl caliber year has to come out of you if you're a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
That's why, from a fantasy standpoint, when you have quarterbacks, if you don't get one of those elite quarterbacks, you're supposed to get yourself a solid, 2 solid guys, and then you can match them up based on matchup. So, Joe Flacco, he's going to get those points for you, but hopefully you have another reliable guy that you can lean on.
And also, speaking of, quarterbacks.
Carson Palmer, go ahead. I was letting you do that, Jabbar.
I mean, he is looked so erratic.
Don't hold on.
I have him with my backups. I did have him in my backup. I got rid of him. He just looked horrible. I mean, I don't know if he could still turn around, if it's because adding T.O. and drafting Gresham, his nose guy's in it.
It's mechanics.
He knows Chad. And last week, Chad ran about a 15-yard dig route. He threw it way over his head. I got intercepted. He threw another one to T.O. over his head. He got dropped. I mean, his throws are off. I mean,
he should have led the league in interceptions in one game last week. They dropped about 5 picks.
Well, he's playing proven. I mean, he was just...
When are they going to start chirping? When are they going to start chirping? Week 5 or week 6?
Those guys, I think, can let it go on long as they
have T.O. can?
Yeah. No, you're not T.O. But Chad...
Team Obliterator?
Yeah. I think Chad can call him once the record's good. But once that record goes sour, oh yeah, he's going to hear from those guys for days. And the fans, I mean...
And like we said earlier in the show, they got to start running Cedric Benson more to open up the passing game.
Yeah.
They have that Tony Romo, Jason Garrett problem going on, and they're throwing too much instead of pounding the ball.
Yeah. I do believe that, but I don't really see Carson Palmer improving.
I don't either.
It's been ever since that elbow injury, he really has been a below subpar quarterback. You look at his stats, he was throwing between 4,000 and 4,200 yards a year. Last year, only threw for 3,000 yards.
Yeah,
that
would
go over 93 yards a game.
That's really hard to mechanics.
And that's just atrocious. From a fantasy quarterback, like I said in my article, if you go to notjustgame.com, Palmer hitting the Dell home wall, he's a tier 3 quarterback at this stage.
What's the difference between Palmer's 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and a Ryan Fitzpatrick for Buffalo?
There's not.
You can pick a Fitz any time.
They're on the same tier scale. I actually said there, in that article, you can start Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, if you get Fitz, Batman and Robin and Gresham, you know, what's he going to look like? It's any quarterback, those weapons.
We'll give Ryan a little love. Did you see that Wildcat play they had with Ryan out there at receiver? And CJ Spiller under center.
If Fitz is under an athlete, you know, being in high school, he played a little safety, so he can run a little bit.
Then he had like a 30-yard touchdown scramble.
Oh yeah, a few in high school.
And yeah, against Miami Dolphins last year.
I don't doubt it.
With Ryan, though, being honestly here, obviously the Bills are showing a lot of faith in him in trading Trent Edwards. You think they're just testing Fitz out for the rest of the year, or do you think after the season they're going to try to trade for a serious quarterback or draft?
They're going to draft someone.
They're going to draft someone.
Chan Gailey's there now. He's going to draft someone to build with.
New quarterback. He needs his franchise guy who associated with him, and that's what he's going to do.
And Fitzpatrick is a serviceable backup in the NFL.
That's what they got for initially.
We all could have predicted Trent Edwards was going to tank. That guy's horrible.
Really, the Bills, their quarterbacks over the last 4 or 5 years, they just can't find that guy.
I mean, but you want a J.P. Lawson fans back?
Dating back to Rob Johnson. Rob Johnson,
the best last 12 years.
Yep. Kelly Holcomb. I mean, this is going on and on.
He took him to the playoffs. And they go, go ahead and start this game for stuff.
Yeah, he got paid too for that. He's probably still making Bills checks right now. He's getting paid like Oliver Miller, retired. I just don't understand that, though. And you can go from Rob Johnson, J.P. Losman, Kelly Holcomb, Trent Edwards, and just where they're at right now.
That's been so many.
I mean, they've got to get a quarterback. They've had the opportunities, be a free agency or whatever. And the issues of no one wants to play in Buffalo, that has to be put to rest.
It's just how many people got out of prison. They were one of the teams that were kind of, out there, should they sign Vic? And they're like, no, we don't need them. Obviously.
They have a lot of problems everywhere else, too. Lee Evans, a worthy fantasy star ever?
Lee Evans is just a deep threat. You have had a real legit receiver to go with him.
The only time, who's the quarterback? J.P. Losman had the cannon, and that's the only time that Lee Evans had value, but Losman couldn't throw the intermediate routes in there. I think he could do. He's a deep ball thrower. So right now you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is not that. He had Edwards before, so Lee Evans' values went down. But the waiver wire, Roscoe Parrish, he's the guy that Ryan Fitzpatrick, he throws those Wes Welker out routes to him.
Good slot receiver.
Roscoe Parrish is very quick. I mean, even watching him in college at Miami, I mean, his intermediate routes, he's so fast, it's hard to cover him. And so Fitz is noticing that, too.
All right, guys, let's go into another fantasy segment there. That was a good 10-minute run right there. Okay, guys, you should trade. I mean, there's not a very specific angle on this, but you could say this guy has played out of his mind, has good trade value. You could say a guy, you just want to get rid of him and see how you can test another owner's knowledge because you think he's a bust and you drafted him too high. Either way, but we're going to go off a few guys here. Joe, lead off.
I'm going to have to say my first one is going to be Darren McFadden.
Ding, 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 ding.
Consensus. Darren McFadden's having a good year so far. 345 on the ground, 80 in the air, 2 touchdowns. But Michael Bush is coming back. Got a couple carries last week.
I'm a Michael Bush fan over McFadden.
I think Cable is too. I think Cable's a Michael Bush
fan. Yeah, Michael Bush is a hard runner. McFadden's a little flashy, but...
Yeah, he wants to bounce everything outside.
Yeah, you know, Keegan McFadden, he's been injured for 2 years in the league. They tried to hand him the job both years, and then at the end of the year, he was out there, Justin Fargus.
Yeah, so, also up on contact, his legs go dead. He's not someone's going to break tackles either. I mean,
exactly. Get as much as you can from McFadden now while he's hot.
Yeah. A guy I'm going to put on the list, Joe. And Jabbar, I'm on Bradshaw.
Woo! Owners out there,
like guys that are going to get carries. But Brandon Jacobs is pretty much on the bench. Nobody else that's going to get carries. I'm on Bradshaw's in a feature role. You could probably trade him for pretty good value right now and get maybe a second, third receiver in return. But I'm on Bradshaw, leading the league in fumbles right now. He's at 4 or 5. The running game's non-existent. Eli Manning pretty much running the show. And I just don't see them having a good
pick.
Yeah, I don't see them having a good ground game. And like I said, this is a value trade right here. You dump Bradshaw because you probably drafted him in the 13th round, maybe the 10th
round. What? I got him in like the 7th round.
7 or 8, yeah.
Depending on how deep your league is or whatever owners you played with. But he's not a guy that you got in the early round, so you can trade him for a guy that was maybe a 4th or 5th round pick and get good value.
But he's going to get touchdowns on the ground with Jacobs on a bench.
Jacobs. Horrible. So,
yep, like I said, the Giants are the type of team that's going to throw a lot. They've got the three receivers in the red zone. That's going to be the red zone offense. And if they get inside the 5, that's Mr. Jacobs. So I think Bradshaw doesn't have the touchdown value.
But they've been going to Bradshaw inside the 5.
Yeah, the 7, he likes to throw the ball left-handed.
Yeah. Most of their points have came through the air thus far.
Zach out on a limb. You heard it here first. Heard it here first.
That's how you get rid of him if you can. Why not?
I'm going to continue on hating on people.
The easy ones.
Give me the easy ones. Let's get rid of the linebacks. You can probably this thing for them, Jonathan Stewart by name. So I'm going to see you offering Jonathan Stewart, and, you know, they have an average, right?
Okay, offer me an offer on there.
I get
Jonathan Stewart for Bradshaw, straight up, right here. right here.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Linebacks. I mean,
that's on the paper right now.
He's a lord. The Ben Rucker out. He's done nothing in fantasy football. Besides, he got a touchdown catch last week. Also, the guy Mike Wallace. I mean, when Ben does come back, he's going to go to Heinz Ward.
That's a good one.
Mike Wallace had like that big one. Week last week. Huge week on Tampa Bay. So, if you have him, someone can see what he did last week. You're like, oh, I'll take Mike Wallace off your hands.
And on the receiver note, how about Austin Collie, who's got 359 and 4 touchdowns, had a big week last week.
Yeah.
But... they got Garcon coming back.
Back in a week now for hamstring.
They got Anthony Gonzalez will be coming back. And then Kali's a fourth receiver. So I had to maximize and try to get rid of him now.
I think Austin Kali's going to remain in that feature role. Tony or Anthony Gonzalez, he's back.
I think the coach are going with Garcon because they saw he in the postseason last year and Gonzalez, that first round pick they used on him.
No, I'm saying, Pierre Garcon will be in that second.
It's going to go back to what the Colts do is spin the ball around.
Yeah.
That's going to be back to the
fantasy football owner nightmare.
Yep. The week you start college, Lou Garcon's going to tear it up.
Yeah.
The week you start Garcon,
Ross Clark will have 3 touchdowns.
Gonzalez is going to tear it up. I mean, that's the Colts. They take what you give them.
So with that, though, the point is you would trade Conley. Where do you see type of value you can get in return? ROI.
I get a good flex running back out of it, a good flex player. So you could start immediately. So when people see those last few games,
people are going to see Conley all over SportsCenter.
And he's been featured on a couple shows, actually, this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Info Playbook, they had a feature on him. So you end up watching the show, the average player watching that show is like, oh, Austin Collie. And you offer something else for him, like, oh, let me get that running back off your hands.
Yeah.
And then, bam.
I got 2 more guys I'm going to touch on in 15 seconds. Like, we're on ESPN right now. But Michael Turner, I mean, his carries, the amount of carries he got 2 years ago.
Wow, I got Snelling.
Get rid of Snelling. Well, Michael Turner, the amount of carries he's gotten these past 2 years, I'm just saying, for a first-round pick, I would maybe trade him for maybe a second- or third-round type player.
Yeah, but Turner's that category of, see what happens when you have a running back over 450 carries, next year.
He's beat out there. I mean,
carries for 1 year.
His good year, he was breaking off runs. He looked phenomenal out there. Now,
last year he had a down year, but he hasn't been healthy this regular season.
Yeah, that having all those carries just takes a toll on your body.
Right.
It almost hits in 1 year. That doesn't include the practice that you're getting and stuff, and hits you get from catching the from catching balls as well. Yeah. So he had over 500 touches that year.
Is someone going to touch on Peyton Hillis for the Browns?
I can say that's someone who
does his fantasy.
I think he's a free agent.
Really?
Money back.
Really?
I picked him up. Now, he's not going to do either last week, obviously, every week. No. But he's the one to keep to watch to see Putin's playing. They're playing a bad defense. I think that's the one you can play. I'm playing.
You think he's going to split carries with Jerome Harrison, though?
I do.
Oh, man, Jerome Harrison, man, idiot.
That hasn't done anything, really. I have him on my bench.
You can't trust Mangini, though.
You can't. No. You really can't.
My other guy, though, out there is Aaron Hernandez. You've got a lot of teams, fantasy teams, that are scrambling at the tight end position. And he is a guy you can get rid of right now for, with high value, because people are seeing how Tom Brady's throwing to him right now. He's running. He's probably one of the league leaders at tight end right now in Yak, because he's catching balls and running like
a receiver anyway.
Yeah, but you can put him as tight end. Yeah. So he has 211 receiving yards out there right now. And he just looks good in the offense. But I think that he will come down, and if you're hurting that tight end, you see an owner hurting that tight end, throw him an offer and see what happens.
He still doesn't have a touchdown on the year, though.
No, they're going to Gronkowski in the end zone, but still.
But all week, the sexy picks, Aaron Hernandez on the waiver wire.
Yep. Yeah.
Stay away and try to trade away from
him. I said, get rid of him! He was in that one big game, and they just go out and they have to grab it. Like the hot lottery numbers. Oh, I'm playing the same numbers. It's not going to hit again. I'm playing. Yeah. That's a good analogy. You got to play.
Exactly. We could touch on the Bears if we want a serious analogy, but we'll save that for another. When they lose.
Some champs.
When they lose after the bye week.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Bears, guys,
yeah.
Fantasy Football Magazine's had my man Devin Aromashadu as a big sexy pick in late round. Everyone said take a flyer on him because he had such a good year last year.
That's a giant nuts. That was the Bear player I got.
Week one, he had the team high 10 targets. Week two, no catches. Week three, against Green Bay, didn't even dress.
Yeah.
What to do? Because he's sitting on the bottom of a lot of fantasy teams right now.
You know, I didn't even look at a Bears player at all, so I can't even talk.
Stop it, Zach!
You know, Lions would have more runs than that.
I'm in Vegas. By the way, I'll be live from Vegas this week.
You'll be live in Vegas.
Right. I want to see that death ray shine on me. But, and again, hopefully they have that fixed. But, you know what? You know, in Vegas, you're looking at the wins losses. I'm looking at 5 wins for the Detroit Lions. And be honest, looking at it then, you can look at anything and think that something's going to happen. But Matt Stafford and that team has the talent. You know, and now they'll probably be, with him out those first 3 games, they'll probably win 3 or 4 games.
But D-line's very talented. I'll give you that. That D-line is as good as any playoff D-line in the league.
But Zach said that they'll win more than 5 games, and he also told me, and I quote, you heard it here first, they're going to have a better record than our Chicago Bears.
That was probably
the exact line.
I said that.
That's probably my 4th or 5th drink when I said that statement.
But with the Lions, you guys are talking about the Lions. When they beat your Bears team week one!
I did it.
Week one. They lost.
I'll put a poll up. I'm not just a game fan.
Do it.
Let's poll.
Let us know.
Hey, the Rams game is the Tug Rule game.
Yeah.
I mean, why that shows up in the books.
Oh, my God.
They have a ring and the Raiders don't. I mean,
the Bears,
it's a rule. If he does start celebrating early, he gets a touchdown.
And we touched on this. You guys had high hopes for the Chicago Bears, but they're going to be in the playoffs. That's 6th seed.
6th seed. They're legend champs.
It's
a home game in Chicago in January. We're not winning there.
Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't matter. It's going to be one of those, if they get a home game.
They're the West Coast team in Chicago in January, where it's 70 degrees and the wind is so cold it hurts your face.
I like your ball on that, but I'll have to go wild card, like Zach.
Yeah, they're
going to have too much talent. The Bears will run into a wall later on in the year, but they're going to be around.
And that's what you want to be when you're running the offense for the first year, Mike Martz. But I just don't think Cutler's going to be as consistent. This past week he wasn't consistent. So teams will figure them out.
They're going to go into the bye week undefeated.
They probably will. They've got a really nice schedule ahead of them, and that's going to bode well for them down the road.
Who else they got to beat, Zach? They beat Dallas. They beat Green Bay. You want them to beat Seattle? They'll beat Seattle. They got to have 2 weeks. If you want them to beat Seattle, hey, they'll do it. They'll do it. They'll make Zach believe it.
It's not going to make me a believer.
Sprain an ankle from hopping around the sideline. Don't let him hesitate. Throw out a shoulder. That's what I guarantee.
Hey, it saved Lovie Smith his job, so. Yeah. There we go. So moving on to the next segment. We're going to do the sit.
Bears.
But
We're going to talk about fantasy studs that will come down. This is going to be a real quick segment because we've been elaborating on the Bears for some reason.
Just a sit.
Who were going to sit this week if we had them?
Oh, not yet. Not that one. That one's the starters. We'll do starters and sit real quick here in a minute. But fantasy studs that will come down, one player out of both of you, and I'm going to start off with Mr. Cutler.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me!
Mr. Cutler is gonna have an increase in interceptions.
He's not playing on Sunday Night Football all year.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
John's defense is giving over 20.
This isn't.
No, listen. Mike Martz is a genius offensive coordinator. They make the first time ever I've seen it a Bear fan in-game adjustments.
Yes,
in-game adjustments. They saw they had to do short passes against Dallas. What'd they do? Quick out to the tight end.
Yeah.
Conley's going to stay. He's a top 10 option. Don't listen to Zach.
He's going to pressure every play. Throw a screen behind him. Slow him down. The first they take an 80-yard out of touchdown.
Yeah.
It is. Mike Martz is offensive genius.
Plays are going to happen. And I'm saying fantasy says that'll come down. He's played better than anticipated the first 3 weeks of the year. Sort of like Mike Vick, but he's going to have to come down. You can't have an elite year based on what he did last year. He's going to come down a little bit. He is fantasy starter worthy in a 12-14 team league, then on that 12-14 team rank. But,
wow.
Yeah, he's going to come down. He has 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions right now. I see. We're going to analyze this 5 weeks
from now. I want to.
And I'm going to say it's 500 level with him. Fix and intercept. Pick some touchdowns.
No way.
He'll throw 8 and 8.
Zach's doing the show.
8 touchdowns.
Zach's
eight
doing the show with a Cutler jersey in 4 weeks.
Yep,
exactly. We're basically buying a Cutler jersey.
I'll do that with it.
Fish off Patron and go out and buy a Cutler jersey.
That were
man.
That and my John Jolly jersey if he's 8 and 8. But that's not my guy. His fantasy studs will come down. Obviously, he's been performing well. You got to give him credit for that. But like you said, there's been a lot of quick screens. His throws down the field have not been that good. It has been inaccurate. And teams are going to adjust to that. Defense coordinators adjust.
My guys are going to come down. Like I mentioned earlier, Kyle Orton against Tennessee Baltimore and the Jets coming up. He's not going to put up 470 yards passing. I'm going to have to go Austin Collie, like I said earlier, with that offense in Indianapolis. And then I want to say this guy, and I know it's going to cause controversy because I don't like him too much, but Mike Vick, is he going to keep up this torrid pace?
No, no, no.
Not this pace, but I think he can.
Is he going to come down
with something really quick throughout the year, which is
no good thing that Deion Sanders was talking about, and that's where we're going to see that change, is Vick's not running the ball right now. Once he decides. No, that's the right. Only one he has to. Once he decides that he can take over games any way he wants to with his legs, he's going to be running, and he's going to be putting up better numbers than your first and second fantasy running backs.
And his legs are under him.
Yep.
Those cuts that he made last week, unbelievable against Jacksonville.
And that's
he was slow last year, but the year in Boston progress.
He was lost last year. Yeah. He looked lost in the preseason, too.
Yeah, that's the one thing, watching the preseason this year, he looked so bad.
His first two passes were picks, weren't they?
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Vic. Back when he was with Atlanta, his fantasy value all came through his legs, and he was a first, second-round pick. So you're still going to get that value out of him, even if he comes down a little bit in the passing game.
But his schedule coming up, he's against Washington, who will have probably a big game against.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got San Francisco, who's
in shambles
right now.
You know, they can put Willis as a spy, and that can contain his running, but he still can throw, though.
Right. And they got Taquio Spikes and Mark Lewis got benched.
In shambles.
They got Atlanta. You got Atlanta, Tennessee, and then Indy. So I don't want to on board yet. I don't know if he's going to keep it up.
He's going to. I got a.
Hey,
Vince. I mean, I like him. I mean, I signed him as I had drum hairs, and so I switched those two out. But I have to get the value. He's not going to be like it was last week, obviously, because Jerome Harrison's back.
Don't you get 11 Peyton Moss a couple minutes ago?
No, I'm wrong. I'm just saying
he's not going to come down. I think
he's going to come down a little bit. I like him. I think someone you can put in the flex position every once in a while. Because he runs hard. I mean, watching the game, he ran over people left and right. That's what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an Arkansas with McFadden and Jones, so he kind of got hidden a little bit. But he can run. He runs hard.
Yeah, I'm not going to analyze these guys, but other guys on my list, Mark Sanchez, 6 touchdowns, 0 picks so far. Obviously, he's going to come down a little bit.
Van Hills, like you said, on my Bradshaw. Austin Collie, DeVar Gaffney, Ben Lloyd, Akeem.
I got Ben Lloyd, too.
So, look at those guys. Maybe try to trade them or look at getting them on your bench here in the next few weeks. We got a few segments left here. Next segment is sponsored by Salsa Tequila. We're going to talk about our spread choices for the week. Money time. Big money. Heading to Vegas this weekend. We will be betting live at MGM Grand. And hopefully we'll be better than past trips. But we're thinking so with the picks we're going to go to Vegas with. Joe.
My number one line, and it seems like a trap according to Zach, but I'm loving Cincinnati -3 on the road against Cleveland.
No.
Seneca Wallace at quarterback. Name the receiver, Zach.
Muhammad Mesquite. Josh Cribbs.
That's good. The star
Benjamin Watson.
Get out of town. You gotta love the Bengals in a bounce back game here. -3 is my number one lock on Sunday. Jabbar, what do you got?
I like the Colts or the Jaguars. I mean, it's in Jacksonville, but they don't have any fans of their game. And I think it's gonna be a blowout. I know they play usually tough year in year out, but Jacksonville's been so bad. Usually they put in good and they had a good running game, and Grier didn't make too many mistakes.
Yeah.
Now he manages the offense.
Now he's gonna throw
about 3-4 picks. He's gonna fill that rush, and there's no running game to slow down the Colts. If you don't have a running game, you can't slow down those Colts defense. And he's gonna fill it all day.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go back on the Cincinnati pick there. I do like Cleveland +3. I just think at home you're gonna have a little bit of an edge. And the thing with Cincinnati, they're not a team that's gonna blow you out. So that game's gonna stay close. Seneca Wallace is not going to have to do too much to keep them into the game, but you know who's going to lose that game is going to be Carson Palmer. Cedric Benson is not he's a power back, so he's gonna stretch drives, he's going to get a few drives going. But with Cincinnati, if you're watching them this year, they're moving the ball, but they're getting in, when they get past that 50, they're struggling.
What's Cleveland doing?
They're doing the same thing, so I'm saying it's going to be a tight game, they're going to have that home field edge,
and they're going to cover. Cincinnati is probably one of the better cornerback duels in the league. Mm-hmm. So those average receivers for Cleveland are going to be shut down.
And a below-average quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Cynthia Wallace. Right. Wildcat quarterback at best right now.
And that's my take on the +3 there. My other team, we got two other teams here. Pitt, I mean, they're 1-point favorite right now. I think Bats are going to get it done, huh? Yeah, I think they are. I'm not going to even analyze that one. My other pick, though, I'm not going to analyze that one right now. I won't be betting that one. But San Francisco, +6.5.
They're +7 now.
+7. Keep the points keep rising. +7.
You gotta be kidding me.
0-3.
Going into Atlanta?
That's right. 0-3.
You think that's going to be a high from the
wow.
Wow.
That's what I think. It's going to be a letdown.
He's batting on Seneca Wallace and Alex Smith this week.
I put a betting for
it. We're in the NFL.
Not upset. You bet, you know, not upset.
No, this is spread, so you got to go with points. You're thinking points here. It's +7. San Francisco is 0-3. Everybody, I mean, the past 2 weeks, everyone
was new offensive coordinator, benching two starters on defense. Tell me how are they going to go in Atlanta and cover?
They do. It's amazing. It'd be a Disney movie. They do.
The miracle of the Jordan Dome.
I'll be sitting there with my glass looking at that TV, watching that come
to
life.
Betting on that. There's a lot of chalk this week, and my other team, San Diego, -8 against Zach's beloved Arizona Cardinals. I love Phillip Rivers throwing for a ton of yards against that below-average secondary. I love Matthews coming back, and I think San Diego's going to win by at least 2 touchdowns.
That is so tricky. I mean, they're a good team on paper.
Just what happened against them.
There's that on the road so far this year, but at home, they get it done.
That crowd
in San Diego.
Yeah, that crowd. It's a good crowd.
And this is a very tough week for spread, so it's probably going to, most bettors are going to go .500 this week, but we'll see what happens on those picks. Jabbar, what's your last bet choice?
Chicago.
That's our favorite.
So long. I don't know what they saw.
They saw what I saw.
The Giants games, but Giants are a bad team.
Who's going to have more penalties this week? The Packers for Monday night or the Giants Sunday night?
The Giants. Kermit McKenzie.
Wow.
Kermit McKenzie is going to be a block to these Packers. He's just going to hold about 4 or 5
runs.
That's 500. That's 50 yards right there.
Bears fan.
That's true, but the Giants are so bad right now.
But the Giants shoot themselves in the foot every game.
They're streaming now.
They don't have
a call play.
Yeah.
The question I'm going to ask, is this a primetime game?
That's fine.
That's only here. I mean, it's
yeah, you know, man, he's going to be a primetime game.
Jay Cutler in a primetime game.
That's bad.
Let's date back the last 2-3 years. Touchdown interception ratio.
Last year was a bad year. Last year.
don't know. The thing that, with the 4 points, maybe because they're coming off a Monday night game and they have a short week.
Yeah.
And maybe they think the Giants are going to show up for once. But I like Jabari plus 4 on the Bears.
I don't.
Roll them out.
They're getting 4 points. They're sitting on grass. Bears are number one run D.
Number one. Better than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. They're not going to be 4-0, ladies and gentlemen, next week. They won't be 4-0.
Man.
Wow.
Zach is getting on my nerves.
Cleveland.
He's got Cleveland. He's got the Giants. And he's got San Fran.
I'm sticking to Cleveland.
No.
I'm sticking with Cleveland. I honestly like that one. That's one I've got circled. And the other, I'm going to look at the other games tomorrow. But we're looking at the 54-minute mark of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you've enjoyed this so far. We're going to go into our last segment here to end the night on some starters and bench players. This is a repeat segment of what we did last week, which went real well. So I'm going to start off with my two quarterbacks to start this week. And remember, these aren't obvious choices. You're looking for under-the-radar guys that could come out and have a decent game. So, for starting this week, I like Chad Henne against the Patriots. I think he's going to be a good fantasy quarterback play this week. When you rate him at the end of the week, he'll probably end up performing in that top 10 to 12 range, playing against the Patriots on Monday Night Football. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. You saw what he did with Brandon Marshall. Devon Best was even an option last week, and I just think they're going to open them up a little bit. Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, they look a little bit behind this year right now. I don't know what's going on, especially Ricky Williams with his fumbling issues. So Chad Henne is going to have to grasp the offense and run with it right now. My other guy, I hate him, but he's going to get those garbage fantasy
points. Mm-hmm. David Garrard.
What?
Under the radar.
Guys, I
need
32nd on my list.
But who has him starting?
I mean,
no one does. Under the radar. Under the radar. Not obvious.
It's a free agent, probably.
Exactly.
Under the radar? What? That's
under the radar. But I just think he's going to probably throw for 250, maybe two touchdowns a pick. He's going to have to throw.
Yes, against two elite pass rushers. How'd that work?
It works.
He had no time to throw. He dropped back, and by the time he got seventh step, I checked, Gerard can't throw a ball downfield.
He can't.
Indy tries to cover two.
Yes,
they're going to pick him crazy.
It's maybe he can duck on him, not go down the field on defense.
He's a garbage quarterback, but I'm just saying, under radar start, Gerard is going to have value this week. Right. It's all said and done.
Negative.
225 yards passing, a couple touchdowns, and you're looking at it where he could probably throw 150 of those in the fourth quarter if he's not benched.
I got one, and I mentioned earlier Mark Sanchez against Buffalo. He's going to have a nice game.
Ugh.
And I would sit Joe Flacco against Pittsburgh.
That's it. Just started.
Okay, I'm going to pay money because Jacksonville defense is
obvious.
You can't.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Jay Carr against the Giants defense.
That's obvious. There you go. That's a spectrum that I like to see.
Jabbar?
Okay.
Exactly. Super low with a Gerard. I mean,
yeah,
everybody.
That's what I always do. My guys that I would sit this week, once again, under the radar, guys. Carson Palmer, I'm not going to analyze that. We've talked about it. You can read the article. And Sam Bradford, St. Louis, I think. He has a couple of good starts, but he's not a guy.
Seattle's
not
really have a good secondary, man.
That's what I'm saying. People are going to be intrigued by that.
That's and they know so. Steven Jackson's not going to get his touches.
Yeah. It looks like an intriguing matchup, but I would not even think about it.
I already said Joe Flacco, Jabbar.
Let's see. Is Corbett benching?
Yep.
Carson Palmer's been horrible.
It's consensus.
Plus, they're going to beat the Browns.
No, it might be them, but the Browns are going to cover. It's going to be 16-14.
Blackwell and Palmer, pretty much. If you have Derek Anderson, bench him. I don't know who would.
Alright, so we're going on to the running backs. My guys, to start this week, I talked about the 49ers a little bit. I really think, I don't see them being 0-4. This is a must-win for them. It's been must-wins for them. But they're playing the Atlanta Falcons in the Dome. I just think Frank Gore's going to get things rolling. He's had a quiet first 3 weeks. I think he's going to be the spark. And then once they get going, their team's going to respond, and they're going to cover that 6.5 or 7 points, whatever it is right now. And then, Joe, if you like Mark Sanchez, I do think Jets going to do some things offensively against the Bills, but I think it's going to be the week that Sean Green reemerges, and he gets a couple touchdowns, maybe 100 yards. So start Sean Green.
For my running backs, I would start Willis McGahee. Like I mentioned earlier, 60 yards on the ground, two TDs last time he got a start against Pittsburgh. I would take a flyer on Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, maybe as your last roster spot, just to see. New England does not have a running back. They got rid of Maroney. Taylor's hurt like usual. Kevin Falk's out for the year. They need someone to carry the rock and take the pressure off Brady. I would take a flyer on him. And I'd also look at Kenneth Darby from St. Louis with Steven Jackson nursing that groin injury. Those are hard to recover from.
Yeah, those things are painful.
I'd take a look at him, Jabbar.
Wait, there. Speaking of injury, Jabbar Harris, former lineman, analyze that. How does it feel? What do you think recovery time
is? It's going to hurt for when that initial burst off the line. He's going to feel it there. And when he cuts, like, yeah. Say he wants to cut, he's going to feel it there. He's not going to have as sharp as cuts.
So do you say 2-3 weeks?
It's going to take a couple. Depends how bad it is. I mean, it could be.
They said he liked tear of his groin.
That's a good 2-3 weeks.
He's going to play Sunday. He hasn't played so
long. No,
I
don't
think so.
Not really.
So.
Leg injuries and running, at being a running back, having leg injury.
Right. So if you're in a deep, if you're in a deep,
it's not a hand injury, it's a leg. So
deep fantasy league, check out Darby. See what he does this weekend.
Yep.
I'm looking. Not that these rushers have been down this year. His receiving yards have been out of the course, but the Giants are giving up yard points galore.
You look at any other team before.
There are more teams than folks. That's the Bears.
Jabbar, Chantel, what? Another point?
There's the Bears, and there's the Bears. So I think he's going to have a big, over 100 yards rushing. He's going to have a breakout rushing game. Another guy, not under the radar, really. But for them to beat the Ravens, said Benson, if he gets over 100 yards rushing and a touchdown, they could beat them.
Cleveland? Cleveland.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, I agree there with Cedric Benson. Because Carson Palmer's not going to get it done. My running backs that you don't want to start this week, obviously, profiling some key guys here. Ray Rice against the Steelers.
Very talked about.
Yeah, his touchdowns haven't been there. It's going to be tough for him to get anything going.
He hasn't practiced all week, nursing some injuries.
Yeah, and he'll probably have the yardage, and I'm not going to say it's going to be high rushing, but I think he's going to get some things done.
If he gets out of the field.
Yeah, he's going to get some things done out of the passing game. And my other guy's Clinton Portis.
Oh, man, you're covering up my notes over here?
Clinton Portis, no. He's too old. He's too old, and now I think they're going to start going to that split with Ryan Terrain. They started giving him
ASU. ASU in the house.
And so it's going to be a time of the matter. Question is when Ryan Terrain will start getting that higher share of carries. So Clinton Portis, right now he's only been getting points with his touchdowns, and yardage has been horrendous, so bench him.
Well, Zach cheated off me and took Ray Rice and Clinton Portis, so I'm going to go out there and say bench Javid Best against Green Bay this week. He's nursing a turf toe. They're very painful. He had injury problems when he was with Cal, injury problems his whole life. Green Bay's got a very, very good defense. They play a 3-4. They play against the run. He's not going to have a big game.
I think I had that injury waking up in Vegas once.
It's a tough. He's a running back too, so he needs his legs. That's his main thing.
Zach had an injury from a Hooters bed.
anybody on the Giants right now, bench their. You got Bradshaw, Vickers, bench them right now. The team is just. They're just going down.
Yeah.
They're going down fast.
They don't believe in Coughlin.
Yeah, team shipping, hop off that.
They want Bill Cowher.
Yep. And Maurice Jones-Drew, got to get rid of him.
JD, you don't think he's going to bounce back after 3-week games? I mean, he's a Colts killer.
He kills the Colts.
Colts
are that bad right now.
You don't think he'll get a garbage touchdown in there?
I think James will. I think he's going to do. They're going to get the other running back in there. He might get one towards the goal line.
Remember, they're 1-2. They've looked horrible the past 2 weeks, but they are 1-2. They had that week 1 win against the Browns.
Week 1. Week 1 doesn't count. Something come out too high. Something come out too low. Week 1 doesn't count. They'll be done after week 1. That's what I look at.
All right, and then we're going to break down the receivers now. This is receiver tight end here. I like this guy, Jermichael Finley, for the Green Bay Packers going against Detroit. I mean, right now with Aaron Rodgers throwing that football, I mean, he's hitting everyone where and when he wants to. And he's going to hit Finley for a couple touchdowns, I think, this week. This guy's going to have receiver-type numbers. And then I've talked about this guy the past 2 weeks, another good matchup under the radar guy, Lewis Murphy. Houston, going against Houston this week. I mean, Lewis Murphy has such good chemistry with Bruce Gradkowski, it's sickening. With Bruce Gradkowski on the field, he is a number two fantasy receiver on your roster. Dating back to last year, four Bruce Gradkowski starts, Lewis Murphy had three touchdowns and 400 yards receiving. This year, two games, right around 200 yards receiving and a touchdown in both games. So, high scoring game, or if it's low scoring, even if it's that, I think Lewis Murphy will get enough production.
For starting at receiver, I like Donald Driver against Detroit. He'll get a touchdown or two. Like Zach said, Detroit secondary is awful. My two pickups this week that I kind of like are Legadoo Nene from San Diego against Arizona. He was targeted 8 times last week against Seattle. Philip Rivers has chemistry with him. He'll get a touchdown. And Jacoby Jones from Houston against Oakland. Andre Johnson's hurt. Asamoah is going to be all over him. They're going to defend against Kevin Walter. I think Jacoby Jones might have a big game.
I'm looking at Kevin Walter again, too.
Yeah, as you said, Andre Johnson is hurt.
I don't think he's going to give you anything, any value.
I hope he's out there as a decoy. So yeah, Kevin exactly. Walter, the owners will get some
value. That's awesome. I think he's going to draft. He's a tough guy. I think Walter and Jones are just going to dominate. I mean, they're a good passing offense. Shaw, he's a legit quarterback. And he's going to find somebody. And I think Walter...
What's the spread on that game?
Don't know off the top of my head.
3?
Oh, it's 3 every game.
That's actually going to be a good game. Week.
And also, old man Tony Gonzalez, he's been looking well these last few weeks. Start him.
Okay. And my last two choices, I'm not to start. I keep going on this pattern here, Terrell Owens. He's going to have his games here and there. I just don't see it happening this week with the Browns. So bench him. And then we talked about this earlier, Lee Evans. He's only a deep threat. And right now, he's pretty much a guy you might look at putting on the waiver wire at this point in time with Ryan Fitzpatrick being named the starter for the rest of the year.
My don't start the receiver position, like we just talked about, Andre Johnson nursing an injury. Didn't play the full game against Dallas. They got Asamoah against him. He's, I think, second best corner in the league,
yeah,
John Revis. So I would not start Andre Johnson this week. Look for other options.
Satana Moss, little guy, he's lost a step or two, which when you're a speed receiver, mm-hmm. you're little. That's your game.
And they got Samuel against him?
Yeah, he's done for.
In that game, though, they're going to have to score somehow. They're not going to score 7 or 10 points. So who's
I don't know about that.
Yeah, if they do score, Cooley or somebody, but it's not going to be him.
So you're thinking the Redskins, you bench all around from McNabb down.
Maybe keep Cooley. I don't know, but I don't think they're going to play well this week.
Total yardage offensively for the Redskins this week.
They're going to, it's a Shanahan team. They're going to put upper 200s, I think. But
I think that's kind of muscle.
No fantasy reps?
No, they're going to be down 14. And they're just going to be trying to play
better. The Rams look like the Cardinals from last year.
Not that I don't think their team was looking forward. That's a flip-flop of what I'm
thinking. Yeah, I think they're going to come to high emotions, but I think they're going to try to be to their advantage. They're just going to put so much on that game. But the Eagles see it as another game of schedule.
I really think that was just a letdown last week because they looked really good against Houston. They got that. They should have had that.
They
win.
Did. But their defense was horrible, and their offense in the first quarter, Houston didn't play that well. That's why
Dallas was a holding call away from winning that game.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that they should be 2-1 right now, and I think there's some relevance fantasy wise this week for the Redskins. But Santana Moss,
watch out for that Armstrong for the Redskins.
Okay,
not Moss.
Okay,
and Hines were without Big Ben. He just. Doesn't get the catches, or even targets, even. I mean, Charlie Batch is going to really check it down.
They're going to go to Baltimore.
And playing against Baltimore. Who I'm pretty sure they have a hit out on Hines of War anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. You guys have anything else?
Can we
any other guys?
Watch NFL. Go Bears.
Go Bears, yeah.
Oh, gosh. We're not going to end with that. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope this show was good for you. We're going to keep doing them on a weekly basis. We're going to try to keep the same crew together and keep some of the segments that we've talked about going on a weekly basis. So have a good week with your fantasy points. Hope you get the win. If not, shoot us an email. We'll help you out with your team. So I'm saying goodbye for Zach Simony,
Joe Lopez. Thank you, Zach, for letting us do this show, man. I had a blast tonight.
Squire Harris, see you next week.
All right, thank you.